Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands if you drop by and let us know this is your first time here. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. There is a flyer to make contributions for the poinsettias that will adorn our sanctuary during the Advent season in honor or memory of loved ones and friends. That flyer's in today's bulletin. If you would, please fill out the form, and include a check and place it in the offering plate or give it to Carol in the church office during office hours. The deadline for that is Sunday, December 1st. Excuse me. And please note the church office will be closed tomorrow for the Veterans Day holiday. Please read through the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about this week's Men of Faith meeting, the Thanksgiving tree, as well as Operation Christmas Child and the upcoming all-church catered Christmas party. And also please note we'll have our congregational meeting next Sunday, November 17th, here in the sanctuary, right after first service. It'll start about 9:30 or 9:40. And during that meeting, we'll be voting on the 2022 deacons and elders, also the 2020 year budget. And we have a report on the turkey dinner. Pastor Dennis.
We are immensely grateful for the tremendous support that we receive this year, as we do every year, from our congregation as far as all the volunteer support that goes into the creation of our turkey dinner every year, year after year. In fact, I think in the nearly 5 years I've been here, our number of volunteers has been increasing each year. We are really grateful for that. Thank you. You know, even in just the observable number of hours that we can calculate, we're talking about about 1,500 hours, which is well over 60 24-hour days that would be put into the effort that goes into our turkey dinner year after year. As far as how we fared out for the year, in the context of Thursday, we actually served 360 people down in the fellowship hall, and then on Friday, about 366 people in the fellowship hall, and a total of about 400 drive-throughs for both days, for a total of about 1,126 meals. That's down a little bit than what it's been like last year, for example, but with expenses of about $3,000, and with the fact that the meals were $12 this year instead of $10, the actual proceeds that we are looking to receive is about $10,000 this year. So that still keeps us in a level of what we've been receiving for the last few years here. So we're really grateful for that. Many, many thanks. Also, regarding the bazaar, I understand the ladies earned about $1,400 from the bazaar, and with the quilt raffle, the quilt received $1,115, is what I'm understanding, and Ellen Stewart, Russell and Ellen attend the 8:30 service, and Ellen was the one who got the quilt this year, so... So let's give a hand to all of us. Thank you. Thank you for everyone's support. So we are truly grateful. I think a number of us are still trying to kind of recuperate a bit, but hey, we made it one more year. Turkey dinner, right? That's kind of like a hurdle. You know, if you can make it through a turkey dinner, you know you've done real well. But again, also, we're just so immensely grateful for all the volunteer support, and isn't it really a wonderful event for us to be able to welcome so many people from the community into the fellowship of our church, and on a cold night to actually provide them with a good, hearty, warm meal, right? That's a good ministry in and of itself. So thank you. God bless you all. And call to worship with Andrew.
Thank you so much. Please rise for the call to worship. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him and praise him. Let us sing hymn number 91, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Sinners who can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, Lord, spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Lord, spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Thank you, Eli and Annalise Jacobo, for being our acolytes this morning. Maybe about a moment of prayer. O Lord, we ask your blessing during our time of worship. We invite your living presence to be with us this morning. We acknowledge we've not always included you in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, during our times of neglect. We ask now, O Heavenly Father, that your presence in our house of worship be felt by each of us on a personal level. May we feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Thank you. Please be seated. We would like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ed. As we go to God in prayer today, a number of people for us to remember. First of all, our congratulations to Steve and Grace Miller with the birth of their third child, McKenna Grace Miller. She was born this past Monday, the 4th, at about 11:11 in the evening, 7 pounds, 1 ounce. She was about 3 weeks ahead of schedule, but all has gone well, and she and Mom are home, and again, Jackson and Sydney now have a younger sister, and of course Butch and Patty Miller are grandparents, and of course many of you know Patty from the early service, as well as the Steve and Grace and their family. Emily Boswell and Grace Kimberling are both at North Kansas City Hospital, both dealing with pneumonia. They're just kind of down the hall from one another, but we continue to lift them up in prayer. Klaus and Connie Stark's daughter, Marissa, had to have an appendectomy emergency surgery this past week in Columbia, but is home now and doing well. Our sympathies extended to Robin Ekrit with the passing of her mother, Viola Edgman, this past week. That service is pending, so as soon as we know more information, we'll share that with you all. And our sympathy is certainly extended also to Lois Strzok with the passing of her brother, Harry Audsley, just this past Saturday. But we know that Harry's in the Lord's presence, don't we, Lois? We just lift you all up in prayer. Our prayers continue for Michelle Jacobo, as Michelle will begin a chemotherapy follow-up treatment after the surgery that she had several weeks back. And that is to begin on Monday, the 18th of November, so 2 Mondays from now, right, Michelle? So God bless you. We're keeping you in prayer. Also, Rihanna Ralston is in our prayers. Terry Lyon's daughter, Melissa, as she just gave birth to a grandchild. Larry Witten is still anticipating gallbladder surgery in the near future. Freddie, we're lifting up your granddaughter, Serena Nichols, as she's out of the hospital now, but certainly a number of concerns to remember. Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett's in our prayers. In Ted's family, we're remembering daughters, Pam and Cindy, son, Terry Thesis, as he's looking to have knee surgery here real soon, right, Ted? And also Cheryl, the wife of son, Chris. And Linda Stevens' daughter, Lisa, is making good progress after hip surgery, so we praise God for that. I was going to ask our veterans to stand today before our prayer, but I know Ed's beat me to the punch there, but we are grateful to all of our veterans, to those of you who are present. I know that just looking across the congregation for the second service and with our veterans who stood at the early service, we're looking at well over a dozen men and women who have served in our all-volunteer now services, correct? And we praise God for your service. May we bow our heads in prayer this morning. Merciful God, for the privilege to freely assemble and worship to honor your holy name, we offer you praise and celebration. And on this Sunday before Veterans Day, we also offer our gratitude to the 1.4 million Americans currently serving in our armed forces, as we also honor veterans, our loved ones, friends, neighbors, and fellow countrymen and women who are now among the more than 42 million who have pledged to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to the same in times of war and peace. Even as we still continue in this nation's longest state of war, it is with sadness and yet also with honor and gratitude that we acknowledge the deaths of nearly 6,852 military service men and women who joined the ranks of more than 1,198,554 who have lost their lives in times of war since revolutionary times. As we honor our veterans of past years, and as we welcome home the veterans from wartime today, O God, inspire and guide us to offer the best we have in service and compassion to those who have served our country faithfully. For as the Gospel of Mark chapter 10 reminds us, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And above many things, we are especially most appreciative of the boundless privileges afforded to us by the rights and liberties of this country's citizenship, to peacefully assemble, to worship you as we choose, and to express ourselves freely, all without fear of reprisal. Gifts afforded to us by your grace and the personal sacrifices of our veterans. For all of this, we are indeed grateful, O God, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture is from the New Testament today, and it's Hebrews 10:10-14, and you can find that on page 1097 in your pew Bible. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified.
Thank you.
Josh was one of those young high school students for whom a yearning to serve our nation was at the core of his being. It was instilled by the values passed on by his parents and cultivated through his participation in the Civil Air Patrol Squadron in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I served as chaplain. The complicated side of Josh's fierce devotion, however, was that it also compelled him to possess a rather rigid single-mindedness that was not always beneficial. At the Ramada Inn, I was the adult sponsor assisting Josh and the squadron's other color guard members in the presentation of the flags for a Veterans Day ceremony. During the practice run, while walking down the center aisle with the American flag, Josh was so determined to provide a precise march to the front that he failed to realize that the metal tip of the flagpole was colliding with pieces of the chandeliers as the ceiling descended toward the stage. As I heard the clatter of expensive glass against the tip and had this vision in my head of having to pull out my credit card to pay for the damages that must have already occurred, I ran up to Josh and said, "Josh, we're going to have to come up with another way to present the flags." To my comment, however, Josh responded while rigidly standing at attention and still holding on to the American flag, "There is no other way, sir." Thankfully, with further practice, we did find another way. The presentation of the colors went off without a hitch. Josh went on to graduate from the Naval Academy, and he now serves as a naval officer. Gathering at the Lord's table, we realize that too often we get stuck in the rigid ruts of our own sinful ways. But thanks be to God, we are ultimately saved by God's grace through the sacrifice and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn, number 573, and sing all stanzas of "Pure in Heart, O God." 573.
My life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. O God, help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin, reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Don leads us in a word of prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to go to church in this nation. And we thank you this morning for the privilege to come around this table, where we're reminded of the great gift that you gave to each and every one of us. We thank you so much for this, and we ask you to bless these emblems for the nourishment of our spiritual body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Christ our Lord showed us by his own living example that service for the benefit of others is a major focus of our existence here on earth. As the Gospel of Mark chapter 10 reminds us, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We know also that using a portion of our resources for the ministries of the church near and far is a key way for us to honor God and to serve others. Judy leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, we're grateful to be at church today to worship you and to learn of the many ways that you love us. We give our offering today as an expression of the love that you have taught us to have for others. We ask that you would bless it and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, we are indeed grateful to be in your house and to know as we journey forward, we are privileged to be of service for the benefit of others, as Christ truly was for us. It's in his name that we offer this prayer and thanksgiving. Amen. Veterans Day is tomorrow, and every time Veterans Day comes around, I can't help but think of the number of different times that I have either participated in or have spoken at various events for Veterans Day and also for Memorial Day. But also in my time period, I have watched our veterans of the Second World War, Korea and Vietnam age over the course of my four decades of ministry. And as I have observed our veterans in the course of this time period, one thing that I have been touched by is that there is one thing for certain, that veterans are determined to do at every one of these ceremonies of which I have been a part, regardless of where their condition is, what their condition is. And that has been simply to stand as the colors are brought down the aisle and posted, usually as the national anthem is being played, right? We take this idea of just simply standing up for granted, many of us do. But as our veterans have been aging, we realize that becomes more and more difficult. Some of you may remember David Booth. Anybody remember David? Several of you do. Well, I remember not long ago being at a service at the VA home in Cameron while David was still a resident there. And I realized just how tedious of a struggle it had become for David to simply begin to stand up. And yet, once again, as those flags were being brought forth, David Booth had difficulty, but stand he did. I remember watching Bob Green, a veteran of the brutal invasion of Okinawa, as he struggled to grasp the arms of his walker and lift himself up as he refused the assistance of family members and friends who stood nearby him, while the American flag was being brought forward at the courthouse lawn in Albany, Texas. But stand he did. I remember how difficult it was for my father to walk or stand, as his body was riddled so profoundly and weakened by disease. Yet on one visit in particular, I was there late enough that Taps was being played to close up the workday. And for my father, stand he did. The silent, though profoundly significant, purpose of these and others of our veterans standing for the national anthem and the presentation of the colors is really symbolic of something much greater, a greater measure of devotion, often instilled, or for some always rather inherent, in the very core of their being. And that is the determination to be of service to the nation for the benefit of others and for the protection of fellow citizens. And for many, it is a sense of determined service, even as they are willing to put themselves in harm's way, not only for their bodies, but for the defense of the country. Willing to be even in harm's way for the benefit of others is simply deeply understood, though rarely spoken, by military service members, by police officers, by firemen, and by first responders. For at the core of their being, they really know what it means to serve. And ever since June of 1973, we have to appreciate one simple fact, and that is that since that date, every member of the armed services is what? Part of all volunteer service. Now constituting 1.4 million active duty service personnel, a population of well over 300 odd million, and yet the 1% of the nation's population is tasked with the responsibility of defending the other 99%. And yet they do so willingly because they know what it means to serve. When our son Jonathan was about to graduate from the Air Force Academy, a relative of mine who had always lived in the same small town the duration of her life commented to me, "I can't figure out why Jonathan wanted to join the military. After all, he doesn't get to choose what he's going to do for a living. He doesn't get to decide where he's going to live. And if he gets married, there's probably going to be a big chunk of time from time to time where he won't even be able to be with his wife." Me, being from another part of the family system, if you will, in which we'd had service in the Air Force for three generations, including my wife, Carrie, and myself, I was somewhat baffled by my relative's comment. Those of you who've been in the service, you understand what I mean, don't you? I was just baffled by her comment. Because you see, we understand it's not about oneself. It's not about where you live. It's not about what you actually do. It's not about your convenience. It is about serving for the benefit of others, even if it means putting oneself in harm's way for the benefit of others. You see, police officers and firemen and men and women in uniform service understand that, don't they? Of himself, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 58, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest." You see, Jesus never owned a home of his own. He was constantly bombarded by the request of others. Rarely could he find respite. We only know of a few occasions in which he was able to be with beloved friends like Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany. He never married. He never had children. He struggled in great anguish, wondering if the pathway that was set before him really was that which what God wanted. We remember in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, text tells us that in great anguish he prayed even more fervently. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground in the midst of that great weight. Jesus wondered if there might possibly be another way. As he said, "Father, if you will take this cup of suffering away from me." He knew he was about to put himself into harm's way for the benefit of the multitudes of humanity. And as he finished that prayer, he says, "Yet not my will, but thy will be done." The text this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, "Because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do, we are all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all." We go down to verse 12 and continuing, "Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God, and there he now waits for God to put his enemies at his footstool, under his feet. And with one sacrifice then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin." Romans chapter 3, verse 24 reminds us that all are put right with him, with God, through Christ Jesus, who sets them free. And as we continue on in the text, God offered him so that by his death he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. Yes, Veterans Day is approaching tomorrow. For some, it's a holiday. For others, we go about our task as a routine day. But truly, it is a time for us to express thanksgiving. You know, it's been said that over 50% of veterans, when somebody comes up to them and says, "Oh, well, thank you for your service," they often feel rather embarrassed. I think partly because veterans also know that others to whom you cannot speak to paid the ultimate price. Right? But I also think that sometimes it comes off across rather trite. You know, as if like that's just supposed to be the response people are supposed to make. But you know, there is really a way we can express our thanks to veterans. And that is for you and me to live our lives with the best level of personal integrity and dignity that we can. To live lives with honesty, and also to live lives in such a way that we offer the best of ourselves to others in service. It is in service to others that we express the greatest measure of thanksgiving, not only to veterans, but ultimately to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. For He's the one who paid the ultimate price. He's the one who went into the greatest measure of harm's way so that we might have the very precious gift of what? Life eternal. Praise God. And so, as we depart from this sanctuary, and as Veterans Day approaches, may every one of us step forward and live our lives with the greatest level of integrity and service to others. And in doing so, we offer the greatest measure of thanks. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today's your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life will be transformed. Maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 601. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of I Am Thine, O Lord, number 601. May we stand and sing, please.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it's all Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We wish you the very best in your service to others as the new week begins. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, for the privilege to be in your house, we give thanks and we seek your guidance to be with us as we step forward in the new week. It's in Christ's name that we offer this prayer and thanksgiving. Amen.
Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil
the fret of care. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give with thee.